It is July 14th, 2021. It's Wednesday, about 6:45 a.m. And I am on my way to work, the last day of summer school employment. And we got a couple of weeks before the regular school year starts. All right, I have a fair amount to report today. I kind of resigned myself to writing my swan song, my obituary, my last entry. I've had these moments before, but I think I'm getting closer to that. Life and death are offered to you throughout this process, and I think I'm definitely getting closer to the death offer. I'll tell you why. In many ways, the longer that the succubus lies with, is anchored within you, and you fail to evict it, the harder it gets. The stronger, the more etheric dominion she assumes over you. And even if you're in a remote area, like I'm 2,500 miles away from her, I've found that over time, whether it's using my heart's energy, but she builds up an etheric reserve around me, and it's still much better than it was when I was living near her. In Southern California, I'm now in Hawaii. Still, it does grow. It worsens, and my best opportunity, well, the most recent best opportunity for me to evict her, and the last one that I actually had that was legitimate was last, I think, July or so of 2020. So over a year ago. I was on a fast, and a water fast, and I got to the nearing an expulsion, a level of etheric energy response from the Holy Spirit to expel her, and I backed down. And that tends to be my MO. If I get close to something that's scary or possibly dangerous, I back away. I want to come up to that edge a number of times before I jump. And that's okay when it's just between you and God. But when you are in a contest over the, to whom your body belongs, and another soul has entwined with yours, it's a hesitancy, fear, second guessing, all that, that's a weakness. It's not okay to be sure, you just have to go for it. And I thought that I could have a heart attack, and often it's hard to tell, frequently it's hard to tell, no, often it's hard to tell, at least initially, what's going on in you. If you've got, it's all etheric energy, and it's moving about you, doing things, and what's under the Holy Spirit's control, and what is energy propelled, directed by a hostile consciousness, a limited, a subtle ego, a human being with a tremendous subtle capacity. One second here. All right, I just had to drop off some cardboard at the waste transfer recycling station. Cardboard's about the only thing you can you can recycle now. Everything else goes into the trash. That's another, a whole nother, a consideration for another time, but it's ridiculous. All this trash that should be reclaimed, recovered, reused. I get plastic out of the equation entirely. So where was I? Yeah, etheric. So, yeah, I backed away. Yeah, my heart was under tremendous pressure. I didn't know if I was going to die. And I should have hung on and pushed through it. It could have, I could have died. I mean, actually, you know, I think there can be a case where, you know, I've reflected since then that her heart is stronger than my heart. It may very well be. And so there's a corresponding, her anchor in me is so deep. And it's on account of, I think, the strength of her own physical constitution and subtle makeup. And so for me to get rid of her etherically would challenge me so greatly physically that there, now maybe I'd be successful with God's help, but I do think that such an intense etheric expulsion would be required, the energy required, that I could actually expire in the process. I don't think that's, out of what they call out of left field or, you know, an unfounded concern, but it's, I don't think God would be showing me that path to get rid of her if it were going to lead to my physical death. But you never know. But I wasn't really, which I shouldn't have backed down, but I did, hoping to see it again. And that's another thing, almost every opportunity that God has shown me to get rid of this girl, to get rid of her psychic anchor in me, none of them have been repeated. The welling up of anger and the spinning of my solar plexus and brachial plexus chakras back in July of 2019, this tremendous eruption of anger in me, I backed down from that because I didn't think it was safe to do that there in California. I wanted to go back to Hawaii to try that out. Because I, her attacks on my heart were such that I thought that if I offended her too greatly, she could come back and kill me, or kill me if she wanted to. And then the opportunities, I think a couple of them on the Big Island the Big Island in June, in July, I flew there in July of 2019 to meditate and pray in a hotel near all these cell towers and all this other stuff. But I, with my heart being compromised like it is right now, I'm no longer conductive or transmittive or conscious of EMF, you know, not on an augmented level as I was. So there's pros and cons on that, but I don't shine. I don't have the health I used to have. I have more of a gray affect. You know, she's definitely siphoned off that and limited my access to charisma and joy and, you know, all these this kind of energetic overflowing of my being is absent now. You know, it might be brief moments of a couple of hours here and there when she's not paying attention to me that I I can feel it again. But let's see, there's a couple of other opportunities, and I just didn't stick with it. And so I had an opportunity to work. A job came up this summer. You know, it's at a school that I may want to transfer to. And so they had a lady in that position that I think they wanted to keep, but they had to advertise her position. I didn't know that, but I'm working her position for summer school, and hopefully I'm earning some good graces there. I've handled it well, and you know, I'll have better luck on transferring to that school, you know, next time around. Teacher vacancies currently are, they're posted in April of every year. And so, you know, I'll see what happens then. So I gave up this summer to get so to build relationships with people at a new school. So I put that ahead of my spiritual development, which, you know, my freedom, thinking that I could hold on longer. I don't know that that was a wise decision. All my life, my goal has been to go about my daily duties, my daily life, and have my spiritual path be grounded in that, and for me not to have to modify my worldly expectations or those expectations of me in order to accommodate my spiritual needs. Apart from living a fairly chaste lifestyle, going to bed early, waking up early, exercising, not involving myself in physical or emotional, you know, relationships with other people, you know, being pretty much what's the there's a Vedic term of not sannyasi, but oh, I forget it. But it basically, it means someone who's chaste and devoted to God. And that's kind of been me, you know. And not that I haven't flirted or been emotionally attached to people, but I haven't allowed it to go farther than that, at least for the last 21 years. So why the swan song today? I think over the past month and a half, 2 months, I don't know how long, but, you know, several weeks, there's been a pall that this girl's been able to throw over my being, or a light that she can diminish within me, or access etherically, externally to me. Something has been a kibosh in many ways, such that I just don't feel engaged or aspirational. I'm not able to hold on to any goal or just intellectual desire. I'm not able to think and write. I'm not able to hold on to a fast. I'm not able to really focus. I just feel lost. I feel just moreless. And it's a terrible feeling. It's like just an existential no man's land. Yeah, I'm alive, going through the motions, but it's strained and I don't feel engaged, or I don't feel happiness from any of it. I don't feel a reality to any of it. And so I've had a number of attempts to fast this summer. I don't know that I've even gotten one through one day this summer. I've tried a few times, thought about it a few times. You know, I get to 10 a.m. or 3 p.m. or maybe 5 p.m. and I just throw in the towel. So there's that. But also, God came into me. I think she'd forced me to take a pill, a trazodone pill. You know, I wasn't able to sleep without this artificial disruption of energy in my head, which is not good. It's a toxic. You do not want to be taking sleeping pills, all right? But if you got a succubus in you and you're in a fucked up situation like I am, then, you know, use them sparingly and travel like I have. See if that makes a difference for you, and see what you can do to prep your mind and body so that it can sleep without without drugs. But she had been causing tension in my head, and she's not supposed to. She's been given a tremendous, I mean, just like God's forgiving, you know, to most aspirants, let's say for me, especially, let's say after I was awakened, you know, I begged for that. back in, you know, when I was, I don't know, well, how old was I? 20. Second year of college. And, no, I was 18. Yeah, I was 19. I might have been 19 years old, let me think. No, I think I was 20. Yeah, I was 20. Because it was the second year of college I rode crew. It was that third year of college that I went inward and was taking a course on mysticism and the religious practices, of, you know, yogic practices in India. Had some psychology of Kundalini. Kind of cool to be learning about all these things as a student at a secular university. God's forgiving, typically. Yeah, God wants someone who is, I suppose, you know, the path that I have disavowed, or I haven't been able to speak to, has been the one of tremendous discipline and control of the body, intellectually, cognitively, mentally. That's not been my MO at all. And I was trying to create a path, saying, hey, this is it. But now in the situation I'm in, it seems like that's the skill set I need to demonstrate right now, is absolute mastery of my body with my mind, which is kind of like nails on a chalkboard in many ways to me. You know, fasting amidst enormous social interactions, you know, I mean, even reading Paul Bragg, you know, the fasting expert, you know, he'll say it's ideal if you're going to do a 2-week fast or a week long fast, you should do it in a very quiet, you know, in a natural setting, you know, a cabin with few distractions and, without many people you have to deal with, activities you have to attend to. And that's what you should do. You should be there, not trying to hold down a job, or when I'm at home, complete taxes and deal with a landlord who every day is wanting to talk to me about biblical prophecy and you know, how the various political and medical things going on right now. It's just a horror show. You know, how it all is fulfillment of various chapters and verses in the Bible. And it's just, and then she eats poorly and is always wanting to feed me, you know, refined sugar, refined flour products. She bakes a lot. It's just, I don't know. It's not ideal. And I was able to, anyways, it's just, I'm not in a very good setting. I mean, if I were God's gift to, you know, yogic control of the body and mind, then yeah, I'd be able to handle this workload and these engagements while fasting and battling a succubus inside of me. But I'm not that person. I'm flawed, I'm weak, I'm not infinitely smart or infinitely strong or infinitely faithful. So, where was I here? Yeah, so she was bothering my... Oh, so my point was, God's been, you know, up until the point of this succubus invasion, where I invited her into me. Unknowingly, I invited her into me. I knew she was special. I didn't know what was going on. No one told me about this. I'd never read about astral projection. And I don't know that there's anything in recorded history of the spiritual intertwining of two souls on a conscious level. And I didn't mean for this to end this way. I always thought that my life would, end in happiness and awareness and achievement. I had sort of an infinite confidence that it would all work out. Oh man. I also had this kind of belief. It was sort of this knowing of kind of a feeling that nothing. I had such a solid connection to God. It's like connection to something, a source. You know, this is when I was like 10 years old, 12 years old, 14, 16, 18, that no one would ever be able to threaten my relationship to the Almighty or some fundamental wellspring of awareness in life that I had access to. I always felt that I had a connection to something. It wasn't on a level of consciousness. It was just sort of there. It was a latent thing. And then Kundalini awakened when I asked for it. But well, guess what? Even that is karma. Because what I've got right now is someone that's definitely come between me and God. Something, someone, something. A presence. And so you may think you're invincible spiritually. And you know what? Even that can be taken from you. I'm not alone. And I'm not, my body has been given over to her, largely. Yeah, I don't have that confidence anymore. But getting back to, but God was very forgiving. I wasn't perfect, but there I was, moving along the path, getting insights, and my body was, back in 94, 95, it was, some powerful things were happening to me, positive, or at least 94 until the MRI. Everything after that was pretty much a spiraling, sort of a sideways movement and even a downward trajectory as I try to deal with that awareness of man-made EMF and sensitivity to dental anesthetics and all sorts of things. But so God's usually very forgiving, and He's been that way with her in me. She constantly violated my, the sanctity of my mind that is devoted to God. God has recognized that, and told her as much, and still she was bothering it. I mean, this is like a year or two into this mess, and she should have been, the bar should have been a lot lower because she was just trashing me all over me, my mind, my body, my heart. God even showed her how to control the heart in a way that wasn't damaging to the heart. And, she didn't honor that either. And the fact that she was allowed to just continue on in me is very concerning. And so it is anyway. So she, just mildly, moderately, nonchalantly, an afternoon or two, God comes into my chest, my thymus gland, and you know, and has a mild energy in my back, and I wasn't doing anything to really earn this with fasting or prayer, but just sent some spikes, some energy, fingers of energy to my heart and some other areas to let her know that, you know what, even if this guy, my spiritual aspirant, previously blessed, you know, even if he's not going to earn his release, your behavior is unacceptable. And you will be, I will, as God, evict you. You will lose, and you know what? She straightened her shit out. After 2 years, more than 2 years, for the most part, she stopped harming my brain. Which is definitely still not true. I mean, it still happens, but not 90% reduction. And she's playing by the rules, in which the rules were, okay, are, if you want to kill this guy, because that's really what the succubus is supposed to do, is you want your freedom, you want your power back. I don't know what happens when I die and she's there to molest my spirit on the way out, but I think it's cathartic for her. The guy that rejected her spirit, she killed him. That's the karmic circle. That completes her task. Her, you know, somehow that's how she earns her release. And maybe that she's strengthened in some way by that. I know psychologically, at least, it's like, hey, I got back, and I can go now dominate men sexually. I don't know if she'll have a lot of her etheric power, but I don't know that her spirit will be able to live again in a man. But maybe it will be. Maybe that's her gift. That will be her gift. I have no idea. I don't know what the prize is for killing me. Because this is why, you know, I had a sentence in my little paragraph. I haven't been writing much. But, you know, I failed God, and God has failed me. And that, I do believe that. I'm sorry, that's not what a good aspirant says. But God did not show me that he was able to protect my body from EMF, or that heightened awareness, heightened conduction of energy in me was not dangerous to me. In this environment, in this fallen environment. And so I had every right to be very skeptical of allowing a greater presence within me until I have safety. And I didn't have the safety yet back in, was that early 2019? You know, I'd been in a box, a metal box, and hadn't painted my room with these non-metal painting and other materials, and so I didn't have safety set up in case the heightened awareness was making sleep impossible and just ruining my life. I didn't want to take that chance, even though God urged me very very much to go ahead and have my consciousness anchored in my chest with a tenfold or greater increase in my energy level, which would have been my ticket to safety and my ticket to repel the succubus that hadn't come back in the succubus form to reanimate the dead, you know, the carcass, the skeleton of her astral body within me, the head of which was lost in my and left through my bindu point in my solar plexus three nights before. So God is so she's been going after my heart in a big, big way. And I'll try to wrap this up. I don't have a whole lot longer. before I get to my workplace. Whenever she does these massive, strident control beats, and that's just it. What is the heartbeat? What is the beat of the heart? It's way more than pumping blood. In fact, there's evidence that I've seen evidence that it's really the heart doesn't pump the blood. It's barely what it's doing. It's like a resonance with life. You know, it's like the rest of the body squeezes the blood around. It's not really just the heart. The heart is doing way more. There's way more going on with a heartbeat and the sinoatrial node and whatever's going on with the heart. It's far more than pumping blood. It's like a superconductor. It's some kind of resonance crystal thing. I don't really know the words to describe it, but it's also a spiritual portal. You know, Amrit Nadi in the body, whatever the Amrit Nadi is basically this etheric continuum that connects the human body to eternity and to the field around you. And it's not just the heart, but the heart's the primary organ in the body that is a part of Amrit Nadi. And you apparently leave through the heart when you die, but if you have a negative entity like this in you trying to kill you, it's going to do it largely through damaging the heart, through just massive chaos, massive static in that heightened awareness connection, this channel, this portal. Just lots of noise, and that's what it is. Her presence is, every heartbeat is too strong, and it causes a reverberation in the body that is discordant. And then there's more that can be done. It's excessively fast. You know, I used to have a resting heartbeat of like a 50 or something. I was even down into the, I think I got into the 30s on sometimes. I used to get into that when I was doing major hiking. In the middle of the night, it'd be like low 40s, high 30s. Now it's like 70 heartbeats per minute. It's like almost resting because it's connected to a consciousness that's more powerful than me. It owns me now in many ways. And but she can cause these explosions. It's like a super strong beat. Also, go every, you know, 5 or 6, 7 beats. It can be a skipped beat where there's just a hanging pause where the beat doesn't happen, and that's disconcerting as well. and then a kaboom, or it could be landing with a kaboom. And then the worst thing is what they call, I call like the snap. It's like a wet towel that you're trying to snap at someone. The tissue in the heart, it's like it snaps. And that's exactly what it's like. It's like a throwing it and then pulling it back. And it just, that is the worst thing that happens. And that, she was doing that ferociously yesterday afternoon. Like after the pall over me, and then I ended up eating some food at school that I shouldn't have. I stopped fasting. And then I ended up eating, I was given food from the preschool for, I had my first apple fritter in, I don't know, 30 years. It used to be a ritual when I was in high school. I used to get an apple fritter on my way to go surfing with my father, and in Huntington Beach, California. And I would just be stomach acid, you know, just this. The apple fritter has got to be one of the most disgusting foods in the world. It's just saturated with, I don't know, trans fats and oil and sugar and white flour, and it's just beyond brutal in artificial flavorings. So I had an apple fritter, I had a bunch of stuff, and I had other things, and I, you know, probably from 11 a.m. till 5 p.m., just nonstop, off beats, rapid beats, snaps, until it, and so it was on, at, went to bed at 8:30, was able to sleep, woke up at 10 p.m. and my whole body was just heat, hot. I had to throw off my blanket, my sheet. I was just two sheets, a sheet and a blanket, and I was hot. And that happens sometimes when she's attacking me. It just, my body gets hot. Wherever her energy is plowing into me, there's just like a heat wave over it, and major snaps of my heart. And I was on my side, and one of them, it just finally, it like chipping away at me, you know, my countless hours of exercise and eating right after 2.5 years of etheric attack, I felt like, well, she had, or at least the year and a half I've been in Hawaii now, you know, I feel like she hit the mark. I felt some pain, and it persisted during the night, and she kind of pulled back, and kind of like, hey, I can kill him now, and I'm gonna try it again later, but I'm gonna kill this guy. I'm not gonna do it right now. It's kind of like she finally was successful. I just feel like I'm on the edge of death right now, is all I'm gonna say. Is I feel like if she were to do that, major heart snaps on me, these major etheric discordances that she sets up, but she's doing them. I mean, it started last Wednesday night, and then I had to just sweat it out. It was just brutal for an hour from 1 a.m. till 2 a.m., but then it continued, but it was diminished after about an hour of my kind of contracting all my muscles, and, you know, I tried to fight, you know, two nights in a row. Well, then it continued Thursday and Friday night. Basically, she went 5 hours, you know, midnight to 5 a.m. of just ongoing attacks on me. She really wanted me to die last week, more so than any time in the past. You know, we did have the 4th of July weekend recently, and she knows that the new school year, she'll be a senior in high school, and she really wants to be done with me so she can go have another sexual partner. I think she's not really allowed to. If she wants to dominate me completely, she can't. She must be chaste, and I think she's been that way for the most part, at least since March or February or March of 2020, and I think she really wants to be in the sack again with a guy. So it's been a big price she's paid to battle me like this. Been an elusive quarry, you know, flying 2,500 miles away. But she's amassed greater strength than me since then. I've got pain right now in my heart. You know, because of all these medical restrictions, and I don't want to take this damaging mRNA injection, you know, I can't travel right now. I don't really have the money to travel right now. I could, but I never wanted to liquidate my savings. But so she's been on a real tear, and it was Thursday afternoon that, oh, finally, a little pain in my heart, good pain that corresponded with pain in my left scapula, and it started to clamp down on her some to reduce her strength. That buoyed me for, let's say, 3 days. But it's gone for the most part right now. Yeah, maybe I had a minuscule amount of it last night, but not really. Not really. A little bit in my right upper buttocks. There's a tension at the base of my spine, upper buttocks area on the right. That helps to dampen her as well. I need a whole, what I had for like a couple of nights, pretty good, was like a 6 or 8 inch long stretch of tension, etheric tension, around my left scapula going down past my kidneys and down. That restricted her ability to harm my heart. And so Saturday night she left me alone for the most part. But she's back at it again in a big, big way. She wants to kill me before the new school year. And it's you know, in the middle of the night to have a heart attack or to be attacked like this is just ridiculous. But it's what's happening. It is what is happening. But here's my, okay, when I say fail, I did not mean to reject God. I'm waiting for a safe, my plan was to, I'm going to my deathbed saying this, God, I meant to serve you. God, it was my every intention. I wanted to honor the body, and I'm sorry I rejected you most recently, you know, well, back in February 2019, but I wanted, you had not shown me that you were able to protect me in an EMF environment, and I needed to secure that before inviting a greater presence and awareness of you, God. That was my decision, even though it was in opposition to what you're trying to do that those nights before she came back into me, seeking to kill me. I didn't know that was going to happen. But but if God, my hope was that God would be willing to allow for a sort of a detente. But I guess I'm not worthy of that. I don't fast well enough. I don't, you know, if I'm not able to evict her, I was hoping to have some sort of a homeostasis, especially out here in Hawaii, you know, at a distance from her. But it doesn't seem like that's possible. Over time, that's not going to be possible. And I just have too many demands on me in my life to be the fastidious, yogic, you know, ascetic practitioner. At least with the fortitude and the resolve, the commitment, the discipline that I've been able to muster and demonstrate on this path. So the disappointment for me is a couple. One is she should have never been able to download herself into me when I was not ready. B, I did do the 14-day water fast. I gave it, say, a 90, I should at least get a 94% grade, you know, a full A for my effort on that, even going to the point of evicting her. But you know what? It wasn't enough. I got so close to getting rid of her. And, you know, I guess God wanted a 97% performance. An A+. An A wasn't good enough. She wanted an A. He wanted an A+ out of me. And that wasn't fair. I don't think that was fair. I did really well. That should have been enough. And then lastly, I'll swear right now because I'm upset. Why in the fuck can't Kundalini do a better job of protecting me? The Holy Spirit is God's instrument, just as the succubus is God's instrument. And I don't deserve to have my body destroyed. That's my belief. I'm a pretty righteous and selfless and caring and hardworking and committed, devoted person. Why can't God do a better job of honoring that? And if you're not going to evict this girl, evict her presence in me, which is an unholy alliance, if you're not going to do that, if I'm not good enough to earn that or to qualify for that, then why in God's name can you not achieve or help me, help support me in achieving a homeostasis where I am not broken down like I am right now? With these varicose veins and things springing up in my thighs, my upper thighs on the inside, the excessively large veins, the blue spider veins, all these veins are getting worse. It just looks like my circulatory system is breaking down. And, you know, let's say out of 6 nights of just trauma to my heart, and you only really protect me on 3 of those nights, why can't you do a better job of that? What's so hard to put a kundalini block in the back, on my left side of my back? It's not hard to create some tension there like you do that moderates her influence. God, you can at least balance her effects on me so that it doesn't destroy me so readily. I'm just asking that. And I'm upset that you haven't been able to do that, that you haven't chosen to do that. I think that's wrong. That's my belief. Maybe I'm arrogant, maybe that hubris, whatever, you know, maybe that's part of the problem, but I think you should have done a better job of protecting me, God. I am a devoted servant. And it's fucked to be trashed and destroyed like this. You can just sit and watch. You're just allowing this to happen, God. You know, I don't want to die. I do not want to die this way, God. Okay, I'm at school now. I don't want to die this way, God. I want to have your help. I want to live, God. I want to evict this presence in me. At the very least, you know, I just want to survive, God. And I want to, you know, I get to a point where I am able to fast 2 weeks. So we'll try that again. Please support my body, God. Please save my body, God. Heal me, God. Protect me from her, God. At least protect me enough so that I don't die and I don't break down further, God. I beg of you, God. Lord, please help me. I don't want to die. I want to help my mom as she ages. She needs my help. I want to be able to work on my website. I want to help fight back on this COVID madness. I want to, you know, all the disgraceful activities of the elites in this world and what they're doing to humanity. I want to be a voice against that. I want to be a part of that. And if you allow me to die, God, I can't fulfill that. And I would like to be, even of a mild or moderate nature, I would like to be an instrument, a visible instrument of your peace and your presence in this world. I want people to see that in me at a time that it is safe for me to do so. And I may... This has just been a wreck, God. And I would like you to help me correct this and to help me live and survive till I'm at a place where I'm able to realize at least a much more full vision an embodiment of your potential and your guidance, your directives to me. And that's all. Please, God, don't allow me to die soon, tonight, anytime soon. I don't want to go this way. I feel so tired and broken, God. I need your help, God. I can't do any of this without you, God. I need more help, God. I need more help, God. Do not allow her to end me this way, God. Please. I'm not a failed aspirant. I'm not. Please forgive me, God. I owe everything to you, God. May everyone in this world seeking God find him. And may everyone be a blessing, a righteous blessing to this world and help to right the wrongs of this world and demonstrate to others the power and presence and beauty and righteousness and just amazingness of our Lord, our Creator. And that's it for now. Amen.